Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, you want that to go?
Oh, yeah, we're taking it out, and we're taking a look at some stories we want you to be on top of this week, particularly climate change down in Washington. We talked about it yesterday with Todd Zwillick, Takeaways Washington correspondent. This morning we're learning, Todd, that the business community, at least on Capitol Hill, is expressing some signals that it's more supportive of climate change in the House than we might have thought. What's going on?
Yeah, in the Senate, actually, the business community never gave too much support to what was being done in the House, but that didn't matter because eventually they'll marry the two proposals. But the latest news on this, you know, some big companies have been leaving the Chamber of Commerce over climate change. Big companies like PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric. How about Exxon, Apple Computer? There are others because the chamber has been sort of obstinate about getting on board and being constructive about climate change legislation.
So up till now, the Chamber of Commerce is supposedly against climate change. But why are these companies breaking? What's in it for them?
Well, they know they're going to get regulated. You know, there is a consensus forming in Washington, even though there are some skeptics, you know, that climate change is real and we have to do something about it. And when you're a big business, that means you know that eventually you're going to get regulated. So what that means for a lot of companies is get on board now, get on board early, be part of this, be part of the solution and be part of the discussion about how you get regulated instead of letting it get done to you. You know, it's sort of why a lot of insurance companies, at least at first, were on board with health reform. You know, they know it's going to happen.
Understood.
They might as well influence the process.
So has this pushed the Chamber of Commerce to step forward and take a maybe controversial position?
Well, it really did. They've sort of reversed their position on this. Now, Barbara Boxer, who is the liberal chairman of the Environment Committee, has been at odds with the Chamber of Commerce. She got some good news yesterday from the chamber when they put out a statement about the process that's going on in the Senate. And John, you remember a couple of weeks ago, there was a bit of a funny hoax in Washington.
Oh, sure. Right. The Yes Men said that the Chamber of Commerce endorsed climate change, right?
Right. You know, they say it. They held a press conference right. And issued a press release, and the whole thing was a big hullabaloo. It was sort of a big mess, especially for the chamber. Well, Boxer got a letter yesterday from the chamber and whipped it out in front of a whole bunch of reporters. Here was Boxer.
This one, we checked it out. It's real. It's not. Because I was anxious to read it into the record, and my staff said, don't read it into the record until we make sure it's the real thing. This is the real thing. And they're basically calling on us to act this Congress on a comprehensive climate change legislation.
All right, so Boxer didn't get hoaxed, but is she going to get this done by 2010? That's at least the prediction from the Obama administration, right?
Yeah, it's unclear if they'll get it done in 2010. You know, the ironic thing is the real action on this probably isn't with Boxer. If you really want to know where the action is on this, you got to look at John Kerry and Lindsey Graham. They wrote an editorial in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago about their principles for climate change. They are sort of working alongside Boxer, but that's the part that the chamber is most excited about. So if you want to know where the action is on this, it's worth reading that article and knowing where the Senate's headed.
All right, Todd Zwillick, you go book Lindsey Graham and John Kerry for us for tomorrow's show, all right?
We're working them.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent.
Let's go to business now with Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Morning.
So for decades, Disney company has brought China into our homes, and it looks like now they're taking us to China, right?
That's right. They've been trying to get into China with more than just their factories. They've been trying to get in there with a theme park for
with
a couple
a
decades.
With China.
A Disneyland. They're saying it's going to be about the size of Disney World in Orlando, is huge.
It's gigantic.
It's gigantic, and this is a $3.5 billion investment, which is one of the largest ever foreign investments in China. So it's a big deal. Now, they had a loss on the situation. They were really pushing to get a Disney channel on the TV station as well. Because, you know, as Disney grows around the world, what they do is they get Disney Channel in.
And Disney Radio.
Yes.
Yes.
And
right.
That's how they get all the kids hooked on Ariel the Mermaid and on Beauty and the Beast and Mickey and Donald.
Right.
And China is really strict on their media content. So that
to put it lightly.
Do
the people of China love the mouse? I mean, are they excited about, do they even know who Daisy Duck is and all
so
these characters?
Disney does have a ton of toy sales. In China.
Oh, in China.
They do. They do. And a lot of them
it's
are Mickey Mouse dolls.
There.
A lot of it is made there. So it's made right there. And so the thing they're going to have to tread lightly on, though, is the cultural differences. Because, you know, you probably remember when they went to France.
Yeah, it did not work out very well for
Farmers
them.
Showed up with pitchforks. I mean, it was really a conflict. And so they're looking at things like doing Chinese-themed rides. They haven't announced the rides. Apparently, they're thinking about It's a Small World. But I kind of think, you know, instead of Dumbo, the flying element, Dumbo, the flying elephant, they should do maybe like the flying dragon.
There you go.
Right?
Or
so
the panda. The panda.
Okay. We'll see how that works out when Disney becomes Chinese.
It's a small
Louis
world.
Stories, a finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times.
And eventually, even that French Disneyland became profitable. And
once they started serving
well.
Alcohol.
Yeah.
That was
that's
the key.
Right. Ah, that's the key. You bury the lead there, Louis
right.
Story. So coming up, our last takeout from Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. It's Game 6 of the World Series tonight, and it's a seniors pitching duel, it looks like.
You're right, but these are two pitchers, Pedro Martinez, who came up with the Dodgers. He pitched for the Red Sox, the Mets, and now the Phillies.
Now the Phillies.
And then Andy Pettitte, who came up with the Yankees, who also pitched for Houston. These are two guys that made their names and their amazing pitching stats in the steroid era. So they're very good pitchers.
Now explain something to me. It's everybody says that Pedro Martinez, of course, and you ticked off the teams that he's played for, is headed for the Hall of Fame, absolutely clearly. Andy Pettitte is the most successful pitcher in the postseason, and if he wins tonight, it's another huge game for him. How come Andy Pettitte isn't headed for the Hall of Fame?
That's a great question, but I think Andy Pettitte has an amazing legacy, and I think if he wins tonight, then he will be in the Hall of Fame.
But the question is, how many innings can these older guys on limited rest, I think they both have 3 days rest, right, or less? 3 days or less?
So, yeah, they're both running on short rest. I think the question is, can the managers, Charlie Manuel for the Phillies and Joe Girardi for the Yankees, do they have enough guys in their bullpen to be able to back them up? And what we're hearing is Charlie Manuel, he's prepared to put anybody in the game.
It's all hands on deck,
exactly.
Even in Game 6. And
Precisely.
That's usually in Game 7 where it's all hands on deck. Now, 9 of the past 12 Game 6s, I'm looking here in the postseason, were decided by 1 or 2 runs.
Correct.
Do you think that's going to happen here?
I think it's going to be like an 8 to 9, 9 to 10 game. I think the bullpens are going to leak a little bit. This is the time in the series when the batters are getting used to the pitching, and
right.
they're going to start to just start hitting the ball, and everyone's on edge. These are two teams that come from behind to win. And I don't know if we spoke about it yet, but the Yankees are at home, which is a good sign. But
which means
I will,
you have the designated hitter because you're using American League rules.
Precisely.
Right.
So since you have that, and then the other thing is, The Phillies fans were crazy. They're waving the towels. They're going crazy, making tons of noise. It costs the high ticket range was about $20,000 to get a Phillies ticket. But in Yankee Stadium, the high range is about $50,000.
Wow.
Don't look for Yankee fans to be quite as crazy
right.
as Philly fans.
Because they're all bankrupt to
get
the tickets.
That's a good point.
Right. And Mariano Rivera, the sort of Hall of Fame reliever, may be the difference in that Yankees game. We'll see if there's a Game 7. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, thanks so much. Game 6 of the World Series tonight.
Yankees in 6.
There's
good morning.
Takeouts.